today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Hawaii bans plastic bags and Harley fans have a new tour opportunity.
Ed Perkins has returned from his once-in-a-lifetime around-the-world tour, and he joins us to share his adventure.
A piece of California history is about to come to life in Nevada. We have details.
All that and an update from our pilot friend Henry and news on a terrific one-woman show coming to the Sacramento stage today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on the radio. Thank you for joining us. I'm Tom Romano. Across from me, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Boy, has it been a last couple of weeks, hasn't
it? I would bet. So daughter number one is married and on her honeymoon?
Absolutely. Actually, she's just getting back.
News gal.
Went to your favorite place on the world.
Hawaii. Well,
yeah.
Our news gal, Erin, is hitched. She's headed off to the same place tomorrow.
That's right.
So all is happy. How did the wedding go? Everything went well?
The wedding couldn't have been nicer. It was a fabulous experience. I want to thank all of my family and friends that helped make it happen. They were a beautiful couple, and you know, it was. I only cried a couple of times, not publicly. I might point
logistics
out.
Logistics all went well.
Yes. In fact, I have to say a word for our friends at Kerry Limousine, which, by the way, is Sports Leisure Vacations limousine service.
They have been picking up our people at their homes and taking them to the airport and Amtrak for 15 years, part of our door-to-door service.
Well, they provided us with a limo for Thursday. We went to the wine country and did the Napa thing with the in-laws from Texas. Did they have a great time or what? And then town car was needed for the bride and groom on after the wedding, and they were carry on the spot.
Well, I'm glad to hear that the guys over at would be Rick and Ron and all the guys over at Kerry Limousine did a good job.
Thanks, guys. Well, let's get into it. We got a big show for you today, so let's start off as we always do with Mark Hoffman, and let's find out what the world's going on with our travel news update. Mark, what do you got?
Well, it looks like, Tom, that in China, it's hard enough to get a visa to come to the United States, but now a shopping website in China is sucking up all of the new available visa appointments every day and turning around and charging people $79 to get an appointment to come to the United States. If you're in China, kind of bad news. Harley Davidson fans, we have a new steel toe tour for you. If you've ever been to York, Pennsylvania, boy, if that is at the heart of the factory capital of the world, Harley Davidson has a tour of their plant. They have now launched a new tour. In addition to their free tour, they have the steel toe tour. It's going to take you into the hard hat area and give you an opportunity to get really closer to how the bikes are really made. So if you're a hog man, why, head on back to put York, Pennsylvania on your itinerary at some point, because you'll want to visit the Harley plant there.
Well, I hope Ted, my financial friend, is listening. He's the financial advisor who rides a Harley to your house.
And I have taken the old free tour, and it was excellent. So if they're going to charge you a few bucks, I can only imagine. Hawaii will be the first state to ban disposable plastic bags as of July 2015. Hawaii will become the first state to bar the modern-day tumbleweed known as disposable plastic bags. This is based on a survey that shows that there is a huge group amount of plastic debris in an area of the Pacific Ocean known as the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. It apparently has grown 100-fold over the last 40 years.
Wow.
So the folks in Hawaii, being out in the middle of the ocean, have decided to take a little more interest in their environment, and plastic bags are going to be eliminated in Hawaii. United Airlines is not very happy after the city of Houston voted to spend $100 million to improve the terminal at Hobby Airport, which is the second largest airport in town, to allow Southwest to create an international hub there. This, of course, United has a hub across town, the old Continental Hub, at Houston Airport, and they, Bush Intercontinental and United, would like to be able to dominate that international route. Southwest is coming in now. Of course, they have merged with AirTran, which does some international thing, and Southwest has their eyes on certainly on Mexico and Central America. United has threatened to lay off 1,300 workers in Houston immediately.
Wow.
Yes. Well, the Houston mayor is a little bit wiser to that. Says so they're going to cut service tomorrow and lay off all these workers. No, United is just unhappy because they've got competition. So there you go.
And Southwest is spreading their wings.
Amen. Up on the Travel Guys website this week is an incredible array of really cool stuff, including one thing you've got to look at. Go to travelguysradio.com. 15 weird potato chip flavors from around the world.
Unbelievable stuff.
Everything from Bloody Mary to octopus to onion rings and ketchup Dorito flavored potato chips. Amazing. All kinds of really, we always get some really interesting stuff, and there's some great stuff there on the website at travelguysradio.com. Real quickly, for sports, leisure, vacations fans that are listening out there, we have a brand new service called By Invitation Only. When things come up at the last minute or we have very short notice, and we announced two of those this week, a trip to see Tonya Bennett and Jackie Ivanko. Really a great duo at the Ironstone Vineyards up in Murphy. Yep. And also an opportunity to see Andrea Bocelli down in San Jose in November. So if you are interested, if that sounds interesting to you, you can go to sportsleisure.com or give us a call at 361-TOUR on Monday. And quickly, the winners for today, Kathy Holt and Mary Kiyoko, you have won $100 in travel cash just for listening to the Travel Guys today. Kathy Holt and Mary Kiyoko, call to Sports Leisure Vacations at 361-TOUR before the close of business Tuesday, and you can claim your $100 prize. And that's the travel news and everything for today.
And I'm glad you had to pronounce that name, because I would have never gotten through that. I can do this one, though. Ed Perkins, after the break, returning from his once-in-a-lifetime round-trip tour. Folks, you're not going to want to miss this. It's up next. You're on the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. One of the things we always like to do, of course, is to make you a smarter traveler. And we have frequent guests that we bring back that have a lot of value to this program. And Ed Perkins is one of them, Mark.
Ed has been a consumer reporter for as long as I've been in the travel business. And when we last left our friend Ed, dare I say our 82-year-old friend Ed, he was just about to go out on an adventure around the world. Ed, you had explained to us that you were kind of taking what you called your Joan trip. Can you rephrase that for us?
Yeah, that was named after a friend of my wife's who always wanted to travel and always kept putting it off, and suddenly it unexpectedly had a health catastrophe in her 40s and never got around to doing it. And since that time, everybody in that social circle kept, whenever somebody would put off something, say, hey, remember Joan, go ahead and do it. And so that's what I was doing. I mean, the bottom line these days is that neither frequent flyer miles nor I improve with age. So I thought I had better get rid of some of those miles while I was still able to do it. I cashed in 260,000 miles for a round-the-world business-class trip on the Star Alliance, and I took about a month to do it.
Wow, wow. So where did you go?
The ticket allowed six stops, so most of them were places I had never been to before that I'd missed out on one way or another. I went westbound, started out in Korea for just a couple of days as a way to kind of ease my way into Asia, and then an extended stop in Beijing, China. And from there, I went to Dubai for a couple of days just to see that incredible place that's just kind of outgrew everything, including its money. And then I went again and spent a fair amount of time in Istanbul, which is, of course, one of the historic cities of the world. It's been a crossroads of the world since there was civilization, I guess. And from there, I went to Krakow, Poland, which is has a good reputation as a wonderful old city, and it was.
Absolutely one of my favorite places to visit, so good choice.
And that was the end of my picking up what I'd missed. The remainder of the trip, I flew in and out of Geneva, but I rented a car there and spent some time in France, and then went and vegged out in northern Italy in the Val d'Aosta.
Perfect place for that.
Oh, what a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful place that is.
So, and then, go ahead.
And then I came home because, as I say, the ticket only allowed six stops. And I came home and thought for a while I was going to become the first person in medical history to die of jet lag.
That's pretty good. You recovered all right, huh? What were the symptoms there?
Well, the symptoms are you get up in the morning and you feel like going right back to bed.
That happens to me now, and I haven't even been on the plane.
So, Ed, you're, and I don't mean to make a big deal about your age, but because I travel with folks who are in your age bracket, it's interesting to me that you would take off and do this, and I'm sure a lot of people who are listening feel the same way. Did you encounter? I mean, you had a couple of technical glitches, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But just in terms of logistical and people to people things, were there any challenges that you encountered that because of your age or anything that where you were at a disadvantage?
A couple of places. Even though I was flying business class, I was staying at relatively tourist hotels. And a couple of times, the places I'd booked that looked good in places like TripAdvisor and so on involved climbing up a flight of stairs, which was not as easy for me as it used to be, particularly hauling up a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
But only one case was it really impossible, and I just had to bail and find an alternate. But other than that, no. Surprisingly, I mean, let's face it, English has become the de facto world language. And in fact, somebody's written a book about that, and they call it Globish, a limited vocabulary version of English. You just don't have a language problem much of anywhere. The worst was in China, but even then I was able to cope pretty well. And everywhere else, I just had no language barriers at all. Public transportation was great, easily accessible, easy to navigate. Just overall, I found that the whole experience was really extremely easy.
What was your favorite of the destinations, of your catch-up destinations, which was your favorite?
Oh, it's hard to choose. I mean, they're so different.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Your list there is so variable. I mean, Istanbul, Krakow, and Beijing, I mean, those are all pretty different places.
Yeah, so is Dubai.
Yeah.
And, they were all very, very different, which is, you can't compare them. I mean, it's each one has its own unique charm, its own unique appeal. And I really enjoyed every one of them.
Ed, you along the way, you did point out that you had a couple of tests that you tried that didn't work out quite as well for you. I had a problem with a SIM card, SIM card. Those of you who travel internationally will know about this. When I tried one, and you had a little bit of a challenge with that also.
Yeah, I mean, just for your listeners to realize what we're doing here is that if you take your own wireless phone with you, chances are either for incoming calls to your phone or outgoing calls, if you try to call home, the rates are going to be very, very high. So what you do is if you're going to be gone more than a few days, you buy a small card that goes into your phone that sets up a local number somewhere else where you can get much cheaper incoming and outgoing calls. So I did that, and it worked, except that the situation is this. So the phone number, the basic phone number for the card was in England, and when you made a call going out, what happened was your call would go from wherever you were, China or Dubai or whatever, to England, and then it would automatically give you one of these callback deals. So all the calls that you got were forwarded through two main international links, one from home to England and the other from England to wherever you were. And I found that the voice quality was really not good, up to the point of being almost unacceptable in a few cases.
You also mentioned that you purchased a prepaid Euro card from Travelex.
Yeah, I'd heard all these. It's a chip and pin card because I'd heard so many horror stories about people who were unable to use their American-style credit and debit cards overseas. So, and Travelex is pushing this, so I got one. And the first time and every other time I tried to use it, the display came back to me and said, in effect, that card isn't good here.
Oh, boy.
And I've emailed Travelex for an explanation, and so far they have not responded. So I'm going to push them again this week to see what they have to say about this, because fortunately, the good side of all of this was that I was not involved in any kind of situation where I needed a chip and pin card. Even paying an automatic toll in the toll machine on the Italian Autostrada, it took my American card.
Your plan B didn't work, but fortunately you didn't need it, I guess, is the good news.
That's right, because plan A was still working.
Ed, before we let you go, anything that you came away from your trip, you know, now that the jet lag is gone and you've had a chance to absorb all the places that you've been, any final thoughts, any inspirational comments?
Well, I would just want to reassure your readers that even your listeners, even if a lot of them are in my age group, don't think you can't travel. International travel these days is incredibly easy, and you will seldom encounter language problems or any other kind of problem that make it difficult. So don't sit back and say, gee, I can't do that anymore. The bottom line is that for most of you, you can.
Ed Perkins.
Way to go. Way to go, Ed. By the way, folks, you can go to smartertravel.com, and I'm sure that Ed will be posting lots of information and stuff on his Joan trip, so check it out.
And not only that, every week Ed has something really and truly that will make you a smarter traveler. There are not too many people on this planet, I don't think, who can put it in simpler words and things that people can understand, and Ed's been doing it for a long time. Congratulations, Ed, on what sounds like a wonderful adventure. Relax there in Ashland, and we'll talk to you again before too long.
Sounds good to me.
More to come on the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
So, Tom, last weekend when you were off getting daughter number one married, we had Henry Bernanke was in studio with us,
yes,
co-hosted.
Sir.
And one of the things that we talked about was we were talking about Henry's adventures all over the world. And Henry mentioned that at one point he had been held at gunpoint in a foreign country. And then he talked about another adventure that he had. And then we very quickly shifted gears and started talking about something else.
And you left the audience hanging?
We left the audience hanging. Yeah, and Julie, our call screener, pointed out to me when the program got over, she said, "What happened to Henry?" And she came in and she said, "You never told us what happened to Henry." And so I thought, gosh, if Julie feels that way, there are probably other people in the audience who feel the same way. And we need the rest of the story.
And so that's why Henry's on the phone with us. Hi, Henry.
Hello there. How are you both?
Excellent. Thank you.
Welcome back, Henry. A return engagement here just a week after co-hosting the Travel Guys. Probably we should recap.
You should.
A little
for
bit.
People such as myself who was off marrying off a daughter and others that may have missed the show, why don't we kind of like regroup it?
Well, first of all, Tom, I'd like to congratulate you for having one of the daughters being married off and the other one coming up in the fall, correct?
Yeah, that's right. September 2nd.
Well, congratulations on that as well. And, Mark, it's always a pleasure to speak to you as well. Well, what we were talking about, it's easy to switch gears when you talk about traveling or such a topic where anything can happen and often does happen, especially when you vagabond around the world, as I do, without a plan.
I just
kind of go.
Yeah.
And I had been, in one part of the world, in Pakistan, up in Kashmir, I was pulled off a bus and with six guns, very large guns, because I was the only Westerner on the bus, and they didn't like that. They weren't sure what I was doing in Kashmir, which is a disputed area between Pakistan and
what were you doing in Kashmir?
Now, let me ask you that. You can answer that, and at the same time, were you concerned from the very get-go that something like this might happen?
I definitely knew that Kashmir is a very aggressive region of the world. I definitely knew that, but I didn't know to what extent which is why I go to these places. I don't want to believe the media and or newspapers, but I'm not really that concerned with what's going to happen. I just want to go find out for myself what the life is like and what the people are like in these parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of yelling going on outside the bus. And actually, the bus was so full that some people were on top of the bus. But a certain part of the mountains there, they pull you off the top of the bus and bring you back inside in case you get shot. I didn't know this, but I was on top of the bus, and they're like, yeah, yeah, bang, bang, you know, it's not good. And I'm like, oh, okay. So you're starting to get into an area that's pretty aggressive. And they came on the bus, and they're asking everybody for their papers, and they come right to me. And, of course, I'm the only one from the West. They don't even know where I'm from, but they just know I'm not Pakistani. And they asked me off the bus, and there's a lot of yelling going on and a lot of guns, and the bus goes away. And I'm like, oh. Okay.
And that
can't be a good development.
Yeah.
Yes. And they bring me in this tent, and they start basically being very aggressive, and I'm just kind of remaining calm, giving them my rucksack, go through everything, and they see all these passport stamps, which I don't know could be a good thing or a bad thing. They just don't know what I'm doing there. And so they were very much aggressive.
Now, was there a language barrier here? Did you speak speak their language?
No, the only one person spoke English. I don't speak Urdu at all. And it was one of those feelings where the most aggressive person I just looked at really in the most calming vision. You know, you look right in their eyes, answer their correct questions, you wait for the translator, and I just try and remain, because 85%, especially when you don't speak the language, communication is going to be body mannerism.
Yes, body language, eyes, contact, yeah.
Yes.
So, Henry, what happened?
Well, they were worried that I was working for the government, whichever government I was belonging to. They didn't know if I was from a part of Europe, the U.S. They looked at my passport, but they're like, where do you live? And I was living actually in St. Kitts at that time, the West Indies. So they don't really understand why I was living in St. Kitts, working there, traveling around the world. And that's one thing I tried to get across, but I still think they were confused with that. So they thought I was working with somebody. I said, no, I'm just traveling. To them, they're like, traveling in this part of the world really doesn't coincide with enjoyment and vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I just kind of went along with whatever they wanted. And for 5 hours, and they were just taking everything out of my bag, and I was reading a book on Islam, so that was kind of helpful. That really did kind of appease their aggressiveness. I mean, I'm glad I didn't bring, you know, Buddhism and trying to preach the word of Buddhism or Catholicism there.
Something to be learned there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As to what you carry in your backpack.
Yeah. Go to a place, probably carry a book about their religion so it's a little bit better. I didn't know that, but I was just reading a book about it. And so that helped. But after 5 hours of literally interrogation, the most aggressive guy started smiling, this and that, and they gave me some tea. And I think it was just my body mannerisms that I didn't become, like, aggressive with my movements, my eyes, my tone. Nothing was aggressive. It was just constant calmness. And I was just constantly looking at the guy that was most aggressive at the beginning. And at the end, he was the softest.
Tom, this is the guy I want flying my airplane.
Yeah, I
think if he's been through this, I'm trusting him to fly my airplane.
Fascinating story. And so based on all of that, I think we've probably made some people smarter travelers.
I think we probably have.
Especially if they like to travel like Henry does.
Henry, and for those of you who don't know, Henry is our airline pilot. He works for Virgin America Airlines, and he's talking to us from Orlando. Henry was in studio last week, and so we just wanted to give you the rest of the story.
In case you missed it.
Now Julie is happy, and Tom, who wasn't here, is happy.
And they finally let you go. The bus had left. How did you get back?
They actually put me on another bus. They told the bus driver not to charge me. And
whoa.
On the other side of the mountain was another government. These guys actually work for the government.
Okay.
There's another government official. He took me off the bus, and he actually took care of me for the night. And from there, it proceeded to be a more pleasant experience. I was invited in other homes, but it was an initial kind of shock that people would have probably backed away from.
Henry's kind of like our friend Ben Schlappig. He just goes out and tries to mooch. He tried to get bumped off the top of the bus so he could get a free ticket to travel on.
After being interrogated for five hours, I'm sure.
Henry, thanks for filling us in on the rest of the story. We appreciate it, buddy. Travel safely.
All right. Thank you,
gentlemen. See you again soon.
You know, Tom, when you're out traveling on the highway, when you're just zipping down the interstate, which, of course, we strongly discourage here on the Travel Guys, but in the event that it's the only way for you to get there, or you've got to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible, and you're out wandering the wilds of, oh, say, Highway 80 in Nevada, and you're going to find that, you know, interesting stops are few and far between, or at least so it would seem. But we have found over the years that there really are some interesting things out in the rural areas of Nevada. And now it looks like that there is one more, because in Elko, there is a new California Trail Interpretive Center. And I will confess to you that I know very little about the California Trail, but we have a gentleman on the line with us right now named Tom Lester. And Tom is from Elko, and he knows about the California Trail. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you today?
All right, Tom, welcome to the Travel Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. I got a little connection in your neck of the woods. My brother-in-law used to run restaurants and such there, and down the street in Carson City, they hung out as well, and it's so great to have you on the program. I know JR will be excited to hear about this conversation. What's going on?
Well, we have the new California Trails Interpretive Center. It's been a project that's been going on for about 12 years with grant funding and what have you through the BLM. And it's finally going to open this June. It opens June 2nd and 3rd. It will be Trails Days, which we celebrate every year, which is the ninth year.
So that's this weekend. It's the big. This is the big grand opening.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be celebrating the Trails Days along with the opening. So it's pretty exciting.
What goes on in an interpretive center? That sounds very technical for that far out into the woods.
Well, it's a $20 million facility with about $3 million of exhibits.
My goodness.
It has life-size dioramas, interactive displays, outdoor exhibits, accessible trails.
Now, these are specifically about the history of the California Trail?
All about the history of the California Trails.
Tell us in 30 seconds the history of the California Trail.
Well, it was the immigrants moving west, of course, to all about the gold rush. So they moved from Missouri along the trail and through all the different areas, Salt Lake, through the Salt Flats, and all the way through. And where the trail actually sits is where you can actually see Hastings Cut Off, and that's where the Donner Party got tricked and came through a different area of the trail, and it took them a lot longer to go around that particular area. So, but it tells you the whole history of the Trail Center. It's an actual beautiful facility. And I encourage folks to get out there and really check it.
Now,
check
is this it right? Is it right off of the interstate, Tom?
It's off of Hunter Exit, Exit 292. It's 8 miles west of Elko.
Okay, so this is something that's going to require some actual effort to go to. This is more than just a pit stop. You're going to have to get off the highway and drive for 10 minutes.
Well, no, you get off the highway if you're coming eastbound. It's right off the highway, 8 miles until you get to Elko, and if you're going from Elko, it's 8 miles. So it's right off the exit. It's off the exit, and it's probably about a mile down the road from that exit.
Okay.
You can see it from Highway 8,
so,
80.
So very accessible to folks who are traveling the highway. Now, if they're making a stop at the new California Trail Interpretive Center, that sounds like a lot of history that would be interesting to California folks. They're stopping there anyway. What's there to do in Elko, Tom, for folks who are rolling through Nevada?
You know, there's a lot to do here in our area. We have the Northeastern Nevada Museum, if you like museums. It's a beautiful facility. We also are home to the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering. We have the Western Folklife Center here. You can go across the street and watch a master saddle maker make saddles at Capriola's. We have two beautiful scenic byways, the Moyle Canyon Scenic Byway, which is about 30 miles off the out of Elko, and then outside of Wells, you also have Angel Lake Scenic Byway, which are absolutely beautiful up in the beautiful Ruby Mountains. There's over 20 alpine lakes up in that area, and then, of course, if you want to do a lot of outdoor adventure, rock hunting, ATVing, we've got some great fishing in the area.
Tom, still balloons in the area once a year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In every September, we have our Ruby Mountain Balloon Festival, so We have over 5 Balloonmeisters now in the area, pilots that take folks up every now and again. So if you're planning a trip out that way. And then, of course, we're the nation's largest gold producer, 5th in the world for gold production. So we do gold mining tours.
I know my groups enjoy the opportunity to go out to the Newmont. It's Newmont mine, right?
Newmont gold mine.
And to see what's going on out there.
Mark, do you so you have a sports leisure vacations trip to Elko's?
We go pretty regularly. We don't have something on the books right now, but we go out there. We like to take the Amtrak train. Because the California Zephyr runs out there, and you get to Elko about 9 o'clock at night, and the bus kind of trails us out there. Bags are already in people's rooms and stuff, so the bus picks us up train station, takes us to the hotel, and then we'll spend a couple days around Elko. There's a training center for firefighters there that's quite interesting, where they light fires and put them out on a pretty regular basis, and it's kind of fun. And as Tom mentioned, there really are things to do in and around Elko, and there are other places like Ely and Eureka, lots of E-towns out there,
right.
that really could make a vacation for somebody who thought they had seen everything and was looking for kind of a staycation that was a little closer to home.
Yeah.
Anyways, Tom Lester from who is the convention and tourism manager at the Elko Convention Center. Tom, thank you for a little bit of your time on this Sunday afternoon, and congratulations on the new California Trail Interpretive Center.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Hey, before we cut away to a commercial break there, Mr. Romano, it sounds like we perhaps are broadcasting in HD now. During the interview, I heard first I heard what sounded like some
chirping birds.
Yeah,
that was the alarm that says time to take my meds.
And then ducks quacking not too long after
the ducks
that. Those
quacking,
of you, those of you who are listening to the travel guys, and you thought that you heard in the background some ducks and perhaps some birds. You really did hear those things. Those are all of Tom's telephones that are set to go off and remind him of various and sundry different things.
The birds were to make sure that I remembered the birds or the crickets, I think it might have been.
Oh, okay.
And then the ducks were designed to let me know it's time to return my tux from the wedding.
I see. Well,
okay.
There's nothing like a little fun.
All I can say is with that being said, on this show you get a little bit of everything, which means that we are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Welcome, everyone, to the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. There's a great one-woman show. And are we lucky enough to have that one woman with us?
Boy, you got it, Thomas. You know, we are not only the travel guys, but we are the entertainment guys. And in town, coming up, starting on the 15th of June, is a one-woman show. And this lady is kind of special to sports leisure travelers because she used to be a member of the sports leisure vacation staff. Her name is Linda Nalbandian, and she joins us in studio now to tell us a little bit about her one-woman show called Alabama Bound. Linda, tell us. It's going to be at the Geary Theater in the middle of June.
At the Geary Theater, we're going to be running for 5 nights, or actually we're doing one matinee on the 17th, which is Father's Day. But we'll be opening Friday, June 15th, running the 15th, 16th, 17th, and then the 22nd and 23rd. So just 5 days.
Now, doing theater, there are 2 types of theater that I find particularly interesting. One is theater in the round, like the music circus is a particular challenge. And the other is when somebody is doing a show all by themselves, because there's not anything, there's no real support there. Tell us a little bit about Alabama Bound and about doing a one-woman show.
Well, Alabama Bound is set in Alabama, and it's about 5 separate women. They're varying ages. There are 5 different vignettes. I play a dispatcher, a 911 dispatcher. I play an 83-year-old woman in a convalescent home. I play a woman that's in prison, state prison. I play a woman that crashes a fundraiser. It's just a fun type of show. It's a very dark comedy.
It's a dark...
No, it's not. I wouldn't even call it
dramedy,
a comedy. It's a dramedy, yes. There's comedy in there because there's always comedy in everything.
Is this the first time you've done a one-woman show?
It is. I had written one a few years ago, but it's mostly just singing, and it never really got off the ground. So The playwright slash director approached me. She had seen me do a performance of a show down at River Stage, and she liked what I did. So when she was ready to produce, she contacted me and asked if I would do the show for her.
Now, the Geary is one of the more intimate theaters in town. And so people are going to be right. I mean, they're going to be right on top of you.
Right in my face.
Very intimate sitting.
Exactly. But that's what we were looking for, because it does lend itself to an intimate setting. It's very intense. It's very thought provoking. It'll leave you wondering and thinking about things. It's not for the faint of heart. I would say that. You know, we're figuring 16 years up in age.
Sounds to me like it's about life.
It is about life, and it takes place in Alabama, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen somewhere else. It's very I think conducive to real life.
Fascinating.
Linda Nalbandian is starring in Alabama Bound. It opens on June the 15th at the Geary Theater. If you would like to get tickets, you can go to Southern Discomfort Productions. We will have a link on our Travel Guys radio site with the phone number and the link to get tickets.
Not to be confused with the Geary in San Francisco. This is
right.
Geary.
Well, you never
Theater.
Know.
I know. It'll be one of them soon.
I'll be there next.
2130 L Street, Sacramento.
Right. There also, you can get tickets on brownpapertickets.com.
Okay.
We're encouraging people to do that because they can use their credit card and whatever.
Okay. So. Linda Nalbandian, thank you very much
for being
a part of the Travel Guys program today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all calling me in, and thank you, Mark.
Oh, it's wonderful. And Mark, I'm amazed. The people, they come to work and hang out with you. Next thing you know, they're doing one-woman shows.
Yeah, that's it. Linda, someday we'll be going to see Linda on Broadway.
Outstanding.
You know,
we are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 at AM 1530 KFBK. That wraps up another edition of The Travel Guys.
I am Tom Romano. He's Mark Hoffman. And we can't hardly wait to see you again next week at 2 o'clock.
Remember, an hour a week is all we ask. We are The Travel Guys. Have a great week. Coverage.